That's why we celebrate Christmas. Now, children, young and old, I know we have kids here today. They probably don't feel the stress. Are you feeling any stress, Scott? You're not worried about anything, are you? Valeria? No, you're not worried about anything? Yes, Scott, I'm looking. Yeah, right. You know? Okay, good answer. I imagine maybe mom and dad were a little stressed earlier today. Maybe. Children are not feeling stressed. They're probably feeling more anticipation. Right, Ben? Are you looking forward to tonight? Maybe when you get home, some people celebrate Christmas and open presents on Christmas Eve. Others wait until Christmas Day to do that. And I'm sure, you know, children young and old are looking forward to finding gifts in a stocking, maybe under the tree, gifts from family, gifts from friends, maybe even a gift or two from someone named Santa. This past Sunday at our family night, I was reminded that the character of Santa Claus is based upon a real person, a third century person named Nicholas. He was born in the third century along the southern coast of Turkey. His wealthy parents raised him to be a devout Christian. However, they died in an epidemic while Nicholas was still young. But Nicholas remembered Jesus' words to sell what you own and give your money away, give your money to the poor. And so he followed through with that by selling, by getting rid of his inheritance, using up his inheritance that his parents left him to give money, to give gifts, to help those who are sick, those who are needy, and those who are suffering. And he dedicated his life to serving God. And Nicholas became known throughout the land as being a man who was generous to those in need, and also one who loved children very much. And many stories and legends of his life form the basis for who we know as Jolly Saint Nick, or Santa Claus. Now I wonder, if Saint Nick was around today, what would he want us to be reflecting on tonight? So I'm going to encourage you to engage your sanctified imagination. I'll be reading a familiar story, but with a twist. It's called "Twas with a Twist" by Richard Blackburn and Rhonda Carnahan, with the original poem by Clement Clark Moore. "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear, but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. And as dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and Saint Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney Saint Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." But then in a twist I was whisked far away. I was right there beside him, Saint Nick in his sleigh. We traveled a distance, I know not how far. We were guided, illumined, we were drawn by a star. Then touching down lightly at our destination, a sight I beheld that defied explanation. Creatures of all descriptions and colors, from reindeer to snowmen, from princes to paupers. But why were they gathering, and why at a stable? Now what's this? It looks like a choir of angels. What's going on here? Why such grand display? Saint Nick pointed and whispered, "He's there in the hay." And approaching the manger, Saint Nicholas gave pause to acknowledge why he had become Santa Claus. The greatest of gifts lay wrapped tight as in paper, and there kneeling down, he worshipped the Savior. Together in reverence knelt we there in the stall to honor the greatest gift and gift-giver of all. The Father confirmed his profound proclamation, "Merry Christmas to all, every tongue, tribe, and nation." The last 4 weeks have brought us to this place in our observations, reflections, and participation in Advent. And we gather tonight on the eve of Christmas, or Christ's Mass, to commemorate the Incarnation, God made flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Mass isn't a term that I usually employ, and it's not part of our tradition. So what I did is, like most people would do, is I looked up on the internet, what do we mean when we say Mass? Discovered it is derived from late Latin and means dismissal. However, in Christian usage, it took on a deeper meaning of mission. Therefore, for the few minutes remaining, I'd like you to reflect with me about Jesus, the Son of God, who left his Father's throne above and was sent to earth on a mission. Now, what was his mission? As an adult, Jesus made these two statements that can answer this question for us. The first found in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, where Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners." And again, reading from the Jewish prophet Isaiah, Jesus claimed these words about himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, if I were to sum up his mission in one word, that one word would be salvation. Jesus came and he saved people who were blind by giving them their sight. He came and saved those who were oppressed by giving them freedom. Jesus came and saved those who were hungry by giving them food to eat. Jesus came and saved some who died by bringing them back to life. Jesus came and saved those who were sick by giving them health. But the danger that we might encounter in only remembering and celebrating these specific miracles is that we limit the salvation that Jesus came to bring to that moment in time, to when he was alive on the earth. And then it has no relevance for us today. However, the salvation that Jesus offered was much more than sight and being filled and being healed. It was a much more profound salvation. In Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah prophesied of his son, John the Baptist, he said, "He will prepare the way for the Messiah to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God." The incarnation, God made flesh, was to usher in salvation, specifically salvation through the forgiveness of people's sins. This is a Savior. A Savior saves one person from danger. The danger that we had, or we may yet have, is the judgment for our sin. But Jesus came to save us. He came to rescue us. He came to rescue you. And the Savior was given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Amen? It's Christmas. It's okay to say amen. That's like saying, I agree. Right on. Jesus, he is the Savior of the world. And the reason why we celebrate every year, Christ's mission, Christ's Mass, Christmas. Therefore, we read this in Luke chapter 2. And as I'm reading, those who are going to be leading us in the closing songs can come forward. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
Before we leave tonight, we are going to each take